Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Out Your Back Door Podcast. I'm your host, Jace Martinetto, and I've got another killer Minnesota adventure for all of you this week. I've got Nick Corbitz and Christian Thompson on the show, and these guys have just completed their through hike of the Superior Hiking Trail. The SHT is no slouch of a trail. This thing runs from the Canadian border all the way down just south of Duluth at Jay Cook State Park. They started at the northernmost terminus, the 270 overlook, and they hiked all the way down. And, you know, the Sawtooth Mountains, the North Shore, the Superior National Forest, these are all areas that you get to explore on this trail. So if you're looking to get out, definitely tune into this episode because you'll get a little insight on some of the spots that you can go check out and what you might experience on the trail. So these guys just 2 days ago were sitting in my living room. They just completed yesterday. But yeah, 2 days ago they were sitting in my living room having a great meal and having a nice roof over their head, getting out of the heat. They had a nice mattress to sleep on, and in return they agreed to do a podcast episode with me. So we sat around the microphone a bit, and we told some stories, and they shared their experience, and now I get to share all of that with you. So, you know, without further ado, here's Nick and Christian's story. And also in this episode, for anybody that doesn't know, something I do is I take a Midwest artist every single episode, and I use one of their songs for transitions in the episode. And why I do that is simply just to promote Midwest and Minnesota music. So this is Them Cooley Boys playing the song 10 Feet Tall, and you'll hear that through all the transitions of the episode, other than the very intro and the very end of the episode. So enjoy that as well. Them Cooley Boys, 10 Feet Tall, and here is what Nick and Christian have going on right out your back door.
Yeah, I can't imagine not having grown up in Minnesota.
I enjoy hearing those stories of, you know, where it all began, you know.
Saw two huge moose right away in the morning.
On what's been recorded as the coldest day of the year and the coldest part of the nation.
This is one of the gnarliest things I think there is about the North Shore surfers.
The Great Lakes and beyond.
Watching Timberwolves and drinking beer and
people having fun. That's what it's all about.
I am from the Twin Cities originally.
Yeah, yep. I was born Iron Ranger. So I was born Hibbian.
Main Street and Ely. Osseo.
Duluth.
We grew up in Brooklyn Park.
I'm from northern Minnesota, Grand Rapids.
You can go out your back door and have an amazing adventure.
People need to be dreaming about adventuring more than ever right now.
Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of Out Your Back Door Podcast. Today I got a couple of pretty special guests on the show. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves? Nick?
Well, my name is Nick Corbitz. I'm from Grand Rapids, Minnesota. I still live in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. I've known Jace Martinetto, our lovely host this evening, pretty much my whole life. Did we go to preschool together?
Dude, we did. Same show.
Good time. So, yeah, teach high school biology at nearby Deer River High School and spend a lot of time in summers doing some sort of outdoor recreational activities.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, and I'm Christian Thompson, raised, born, live in Fargo, North Dakota. That's where I met Nick. We both graduated from Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota. Doing biology education. So I teach just north of Fargo at Northern Cass Middle School. So I'm a middle school science teacher. And that's kind of how we know each other.
Awesome. College buddies getting together. And
that's right.
We haven't even told everybody yet, but these gentlemen are through hiking the SHT, which is the Superior Hiking Trail. And let's start with a little bit of that background. What's your guys' hiking background or recreation background? I mean, what do you guys do for hobbies, for that matter?
Yeah, I love hiking. I kind of grew up, my family actually went to Colorado most years for reunions, and so I grew up always kind of hiking, climbing 14ers out in Colorado.
Wow.
So that was kind of a passion of mine. So that's what kind of sparked a love for hiking in me. And then throughout college, started doing backpacking trips. And one of the first ones that we did was actually both Nick and I's senior year, going out to Utah, if you want to say anything about that trip. But I think that's one that really kind of sparked it for us anyways.
Yeah, I mean, for me, growing up in Grand Rapids and Itasca County, we're kind of blessed with, you know, the great outdoors, like lakes. We have everything, and that's one of the reasons why I still live there. But at the same time, and Jace, you can kind of relate to this, is growing up, it was pretty much all sports.
Oh, yeah.
School and sports are so busy. I mean, you know, I grew up deer hunting, grouse hunting, fishing, all that stuff. But
Yep. As
far as, like, you know, really getting involved in something intense like the Spear Hiking Trail, which when you said that gave me goosebumps. That we're almost, well, I think we're done with the traditional trail, right?
You are.
It,
but yep.
We're going through Duluth, but yeah, I honestly still can't believe it. We're on day 18. But I don't know, as I was kind of ending college, Christian mentioned the Utah trip just sporadic right before we graduated. We, you know, I was on a budget of like $200. We just jumped in a car and went to Utah, and that kind of sparked it for me, because as my, you know, playing sports my whole life, I never knew anything different, but I've always loved the outdoors. It's kind of a cool way for me to be active right now, because right now, you know, we don't play sports. Hockey's done, soccer's done, and so it was just kind of like,
especially with Corona.
Yeah, now we don't even have the option, even if we weren't lazy.
Yeah, right.
Right? So, no, it was kind of, how do I stay active? Because I, you know, I just don't want to, you know, sit around. And it was just kind of nice where right as kind of sports were ending, we just happened to take a trip to Utah, and that's really what spiked me to get all, you know, the backpacking gear accumulated over time.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah,
that senior trip pretty much got the ball rolling for me to kind of expand my backpacking experiences.
That's awesome. Yeah, like, I think back to high school, and I'd have never pictured myself sitting in, like, a tiny little, basically, cabin setting north of Duluth, right off the Superior Hiking Trail, like, chatting with a couple of dudes hiking the Superior. I didn't even know the Superior Hiking Trail was a thing in high school, to
Correct.
Be entirely honest.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And when I got to Duluth, I finally realized, like, you know, I was being like, this thing was like hiding from me my whole life. And yeah, ever since,
no, it's literally in your backyard.
Yeah, literally. I can literally walk out my back door and be to the Lone Tree Campground in like less than a quarter mile. So yeah, it's incredible. But
yeah. I kind of had a similar experience, because it was, you know, the first year we went to Utah, and, you know, Christian planned it, and we've done a couple trips with our friend Jess from school, and next year we
went
to Washington.
Shout out to Jess.
Sorry, Jess, you're not here. But then she kind of organized that trip, and Christian did too, and then it was pretty much my turn, and it was like, wow, we've driven across the country for the last couple of years, and I literally went, like, Google search, like, trails in Minnesota. So this is like, well, I don't want to drive so far, and this showed up, and it was like, is this really as sweet as it looks? And it turns out it is.
Do we really have a trail that has waterfalls and overlooks and is 300-some miles long? And
incredible.
300.
Yeah,
and it's the whole thing more than 300 if you do the Duluth.
If you don't do all the spur sections, it's about exactly 300 from north to end.
Yeah, nice. I think with the spurs, it's 325.
Yeah, sure. And you guys started at the 270 overlook and headed south. So,
it's really unique. I think. Yeah, I mean, I'm like Nick. I didn't know anything about Spear Hiking Trail until we did this. We did like a 30-mile section from Lutzen to Grand Marais 2 years ago. Nick and I and our friend Jess, and I had no idea. I mean, I've been to Glacier, I've been to Banff, Canada, I've been to Tetons, Colorado, Washington. Like, I've been to all these places because I love backpacking and hiking, but I had no idea we had something so accessible, so close, that honestly is just as beautiful. I mean, it's a different type of terrain.
It's a different kind of beauty,
and it's tough.
Totally.
Like, you think, oh, Minnesota, like, it's going to be nice and flat. You know, it's a rough terrain. Like, I was shocked when we did it 2 years ago. And so, yeah, ever since then, we've dreamt of doing the whole thing.
That's awesome. I'm right there with you. The first time someone was like, hey, go hike Bean and Bear.
Right.
Be prepared. You know, it's like a
8 mile round trip hike. It's, you know, it's gonna take you all day. I'm thinking 8 miles, like all day,
right?
Really, you know?
Yeah.
And like it really didn't take me all day, but you know, to go out on a trail and have it kind of kick your butt like the Superior Hiking Trail can do, it kind of humbles you in a sense,
yeah,
of like, you know, you don't realize what's right out your back door there. It's right there in Minnesota, and you know, it's waiting for everybody to go be experienced. So I'm stoked that you guys
really
took the initiative and the opportunity, the free time during Corona to be able to do this for yourselves.
Yeah.
So.
And Christian pointed out, too, because he's done a lot of 14ers in Colorado and whatnot, but there's really no switchbacks on the Superior Hiking Trail. So what that means, you're going, like, you're not zigzagging up the mountain.
No.
You're straight up.
And it's
constantly.
It's pretty wicked in some spots.
It's the sister trail to the Appalachian Trail. So it, and the reason being is because of how many ups and downs you do on trail.
I didn't know
that was awesome. The AT is just, it's very similar, you know, a lot of straight ups, straight downs, and yeah. So a lot of people actually come to Minnesota and they'll hike the Superior Hiking Trail before they
go do the
Appalachian Trail. Just to kind of get their feet wet and start, you know, getting them hiking shoes going.
That's awesome.
So
that's very cool.
Yeah. Have you ran into anybody else on trail from
through hiking?
Yeah,
A couple.
Anybody from outside of Minnesota?
Not that we know of.
Not this year. 2 years ago, we met another. So first of all, I don't know what it is about teachers, but particularly science teachers. I didn't realize we were a part of a cult. But apparently, like, what every science teacher does in the summer is go to hike the Spear Hiking Trail. But
seriously.
I think it was, like, the first 4 nights we met 2 other science teachers.
Yeah.
It was just bizarre.
Yeah, what do you do? Science teacher?
Yeah. But 2 years ago when we did that, you know, it was first, you know, like, what is this? Google search, find it. We went from Lucerne to Grand Marais, fell in love with the trail.
Yep.
We met this guy who was from Iowa. But he had done the Appalachian Trail, right?
Yeah.
And
he had done the full Appalachian Trail and was now through hiking the SHT. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so we've met some pretty intense people.
For sure.
And on that juice, but on the flip side, we've met some people who said they're through hiking and it's like, oh, you sure? We ran into some guy yesterday, he didn't have bug spray.
Yeah,
and 50, had just a
50-pound cat.
He had a tank top on. He had no sleeves.
That's insane.
Just like nothing but bug bites.
Had a big axe. Just like, buddy.
I mean,
but that's how you learn.
That's how you learn.
For sure,
right? It's to dive right
for
in.
Sure,
but, man, that's an ambitious first hike. And he even said, "Yeah, I've never, you know, hiked before." It's, but it's, I mean, you got to start somewhere.
And that's the beauty of hiking too, is you can kind of just grab and go. I mean, so long as your feet are going to keep pushing you forward, you can just kind of go for it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you learn pretty quickly the importance of, like, having lighter gear and, you know, being able to have a proper packing system and layering system, but, I mean, that only way to figure that out is to go put the shoes on and go for a walk, so.
Right.
Absolutely. And it is kind of nice, too, because, you know, not too long, you hit Two Harbors, Silver Bay, there's a lot of checkpoints lying.
Right.
You know, it's particularly, I think, me and Christian's mothers who are worried about us. And it's like, no, like, we can stop at any time.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
Highway 61 is always pretty close.
Yeah. We're not worried about failing.
Right. that's the one thing I always remind myself, like, you know, you get in this mental state like you're going out into the wilderness and, like, you're going to be away from it all. But, like, yeah, in all reality, you got there pretty quick. You can get out of it pretty quick if you need to. But, yeah, you got to love the moms, though. Always looking out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that day, too, where you and Carrie met us, I think it was Temperance? Or I think
Temperance.
It was Temperance.
Yeah, we're at Temperance. Yeah.
And, you know, we're on day 9, I think, and we smell terrible. We're in the woods, and, you know, we think we're just, like, completely branched off the side. And then I get a text from Jason, and he's like, "Hey, it's me for lunch." And you brought us up lunch, and
it's
just bizarre because you think you're really in the middle of nothing, yet you drove up in an hour,
provided
us with a great lunch.
I've been stoked. As soon as I heard you guys were through hiking, I've been waiting for the opportunity. So I interviewed a gentleman the other day. His name is Sam, and he paddled the entire Mississippi River.
So cool.
And on that trip, he experienced these people called the River Angels.
Yeah,
and
trail magic.
And trail angels are a thing, too. And I haven't really heard if we have many, if any, on the Superior Hiking Trail.
I hear about them all the time on the AT and the PCT.
Pacific Crest, and it's like, why not? I mean, I have access to the trail right out my back door, and I'm, an hour's drive from most of the major spots up the shore. So anybody tuning in, too, that's planning on through hiking, I'd be glad to grab lunch for you, give you a resupply, let you have a hot shower, just hit me up and follow the podcast. So,
but, especially the last part.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, actually, if you don't follow the podcast, I can give you a roof over your head, but no showers.
Do you remember? Look in my eyes. Late September, when the summer dies and turns to fall, I was 10 feet tall. It turns to fall.
Anyway, so, your moms were worried about you a little bit and whatnot, but obviously you guys came into this pretty well prepared.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about, some of your meal planning and what it kind of took as far as what, I guess, planning this trip out? I mean, there definitely goes in, a lot that goes into hiking 300-some miles, so.
Yeah, and we've planned trips that are 4 or 5 days at a time, and even that takes a little bit to figure out, but doing a 20-21 day trip is a lot to plan and try to figure out, how much food you get, what kind of things do you bring, are we set on, clothes and resupplies, and so all that kind of stuff does add to it, but it's also the fun part. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think just figuring out how many calories to intake, just because you're losing so many when you're hiking.
Right.
You have to make sure that you're still getting the correct calories. But
it's kind of hard to force feed yourself them calories sometimes.
Yeah,
you don't realize.
You think you're going to be hungry all the time.
You just get that, hiker stomach, and it's more granola.
I just stopped eating 3 Clif Bars. Shut out the Clif Bars, because I've eaten 40 of them in the last 2 weeks, but I had to limit myself to 1 Clif Bar a day. I couldn't do it anymore.
Had to take a step back from them.
So we each have our own kind of, we've done this enough to where we kind of know the things that we like to have and what we don't like to have, but what makes it easy, what's light and has a high calorie intake for how many ounces there are. So,
And we're very different too. Christian's way more, you always plan something like this.
Yeah.
But
right.
I got
every day,
spreadsheets.
Yeah, he's got spreadsheets. He's got stuff laid out every morning, and I'll just kind of pop up out of the tent and say, sweet, let's go.
It's awful. I will wake up a half hour before him every morning. I have my stuff all laid out, getting all the meal stuff ready every morning. He wakes up a half hour later and just pops out of the tent like, all right, I'm ready. Really?
Somehow he's fully groomed. He's showered and
all right, I'm good.
Braided his beard.
Hair's nice and parted.
How does he do it? Oh my gosh. Well, that's awesome. excuse me. Have you guys had a favorite section so far then, as far as...
Yeah. Right. You're in.
All right. Well, our answer is going to be the same.
Yep.
Bear Bean Lake, just north of Silver Bay.
Yeah,
it's just it's incredible.
It is.
I mean, obviously, there's elevation that comes with it, but it's just, you look at some of the views. It's like, are you kidding me?
Minnesota's little hidden mountain lake.
Yeah, I mean, just truthfully, it's especially as we're traveling south, and there's a lot of really cool stuff out up north too. Because you can see Isle Royale.
Yep.
You get to walk on the shore of Lake Superior, but.
Devil's Kettle.
I mean, all kinds of waterfalls, state parks. But we get south, and in a way, it almost it doesn't ruin the rest of the trip. But everything, you're looking at a gorgeous view of Lake Superior. The next day, it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
But yes, and that's exactly what you told us too when we met you for lunch. You said you're going to love Section 13, and I think for both of us, it was Section 13 just north of Silver Bay was just unbelievable.
Yeah, it was like a 2-3 day stretch. It was like Section 13. We got into Teta Gooch. We got into Bear Bean Lake. There's like a 2-3 day stretch right there.
Yeah,
that was just probably Section 13 all the way to Gooseberry was probably the favorites.
But. Nice. Yeah, I'd say Bean and Bear has always been one of my favorites. I haven't done Carlton Peak yet, which yeah. It's been on my bucket list. Devil's Kettle area, like up by Hovland and Koval, like that area I like because it's so steep. But all the sections I've done, I still go back to Bean and Bear just because that's something special, man. I don't know. Yeah. It's my first one, and it's been one of my favorites ever since.
I mean, unfortunately, you go on the weekend, it's going to be quite busy.
Yeah, so, right.
You know, go on a weekday if you can. But
right. Yeah, and for anybody that's wondering, the trailhead for Bean and Bear is just outside of Silver Bay. So if you take a left off of 61 and you drive straight through Silver Bay, you'll see the trailhead on your right side after you go through the last stop sign as you're leaving town. So, yeah, go check it out. Definitely worth the hike. It's about 8 miles round trip, I believe. Maybe it's 6.5. It's one of those two, but plan for a full day and just enjoy it because there's definitely more than one point of interest on that little loop. So along with the prep, along with the favorite sections, what have your and I know this is going to be a difficult question. What's been your favorite go-to meal?
Oh.
Because I know you've probably had a lot of the same meals,
yeah.
But one of them has to be the favorite.
So, you know, we like to get those nice backpacker meals.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but they cost a little bit of money. And so when we're doing
$9 a piece, aren't they?
Yeah, so when we're doing a, 21-day stretch, we're like, we can't just do them for every night. Like, we don't have that money.
Right.
So we bought, four of them. So those are always our favorite because they're just so much better than anything else you're going to have for dinners. But one of our go-tos, besides that, that's been super cheap, has been the ramen bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Explain
to folks what the ramen bomb
know,
is.
Yeah. Most backpackers know, but it's a ramen packet. It is a packet of Idahoan potato, instant potatoes. And then I include Spam. Some other hikers include beef jerky. You don't have to include any meat, but I prefer Spam in it. And you just put it all in a freezer bag and put some water in it. And, it's so much better than you would think. I'm not even
plus
ramen
the calories
fan.
That you need.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's going to give you the calories and the sodium that you're losing.
Oh, yeah. Sodium is a key part of hydration, and it'll get you there. So.
Well, the best part about that is the whole meal. I mean, if you do it without Spam and other meat, the whole meal costs you $1.25.
Yeah, it's super cheap, 1,000 calories in one meal.
Unhealthy Saturday is maybe I'll just do this when I actually get back.
Super cheap, yeah.
But another one that was kind of our go-to, at least for a while, was I don't remember the brand, but the noodles and rice, same thing. You just dump the noodles, dump the rice,
pasta and rice sides.
Yeah. So on night 10, I think it was, Christian woke up in the middle of the night puking, and I'll try to spare as many of the details as I can, but we were essentially looking at that dinner.
Yes, of course.
We're outside the tent, and so I kind of felt bad for Christian because
I never had that again.
The thing, because we didn't have a huge diversity of meals to begin with. Every 4 days, 5 days, you treat yourself to a backpacker meal, right? Because we four of them, and then we do the ramen bomb, but then we do the noodles and rice, right? So it's kind of almost like a 3-meal rotation, but his became a new meal or 2-meal rotation, and talking to and one of the cool things I was telling him when we were shoveling cars earlier today is you meet people on the trail, and that's one of the really cool parts.
That's awesome.
You tell them you're through hiking, and you kind of feel pretty good about yourself.
Yeah,
everyone
right.
takes interest in you, and one person asked about the water filter. And I have, what's my brand called?
The Sawyer Squeeze.
Obviously, that little thin screen and catch everything. But he's got a SteriPen where he shines a light and it kills everything. And so he's explained that. And he's like, I've been using this and I haven't got sick yet. And I was like, yes, you have. He was like, literally last night, you woke up crawling over me because you had to throw up. And meanwhile, 12 hours later, yep, haven't got sick. He's like, yes, you have. You just did.
Hey, but that's what you gotta have when you're hiking. Short-term memory, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's mental.
To Christian's credit, like, the bounce back was just, like... And I was... You know, at first, it was, like, it was a bad couple minutes, and we're... You know, I think it was the day after we met you.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it's like, okay, it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
I'm lying on the ground.
Like, am I gonna have to, like, carry him over my shoulder? Like,
evacuate? Yeah.
Him and, like, get him to the nearest... Like, what's going on here? And, like... 3 minutes later, comes back in 10. Oh, I'm good. He just goes back to sleep. It's like, what?
Oh,
in the morning, he's like, I feel great. And yeah.
Something
that, that was funny, though. I was like, yeah, it's worked out great. I was like, yeah.
That's funny. Just pew casually, go back to bed. So. Yeah. That's funny. I've been there, Nick. I've had people stumble over me. To...
No, he gave me fair warning. And like, the worst part was, you know, we talked about, was we didn't really see nighttime this whole trip because
we were
exhausted. We were probably in the tent by 7:30. We both got our books we like to read, and we were probably sleeping by 9 o'clock. But of course, this time of year, it's like 9:30, 9:45.
Yep.
It's dark, and
it gets light at 5.
In the meanwhile, Christian is throwing up, and I can't help but just admire the stars. And it seems like a really bad time to point out the Big Dipper.
But
whenever you're done doing that, you need to really check out the stars because they're gorgeous right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, and that's something that for sure. That's a good point that you made, because the stars up the shore are incredible. There's
amazing.
Such little light pollution up there that they are bright, very bright.
Yeah.
So anybody that's hiking, check them out. Make sure you open your eyes at least once on trail at night.
Right. Hopefully, I've
better gotta
circumstances.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hopefully, your friend is not puking, and that's what causes you to see the stars. But
yeah, for me, it was great.
Oh, that's awesome, Nick. You said something earlier that I wanted to come back to. You said that you were shuffling cars. So, you know, anybody that's listening, if
yeah.
There's a few ways that you can through hike, and one of which you can pretty much get dropped off at one end of the trail, hike to the other, have somebody pick you up, or stash a car, get dropped off somewhere, and then hike to your vehicle and drive home. You guys are doing it a little bit differently. You're kind of taking it section by section. How's that been going?
It's been wonderful.
Pretty much drop one car, hop down, drop the next one off. Just
yep.
Nice.
Yeah,
we just have both of our cars. So we have one. We split it into probably six or seven sections of the trail. So 3 to 4 days, 2 to 4 days. We put one car at the end, one car at the beginning, hike to one car, and then we just probably have 2 hours of shuttling every 3 or 4 days, which has been super nice.
Yeah, nice
time that
break.
We can, you know, call home. We can kind of have, honestly, an hour apart from each other and just kind of decompress and not walk. Like,
for sure.
It's been super nice.
Yep.
It's maybe not the most economic thing to do, but it's, you know, for instance, we started at the North Terminus. We go to Grand Marais. So we leave one car in Grand Marais, leave one car at the North Terminus, get down to Grand Marais, then we have to drive all the way up to North Terminus, then you have to drive back to Grand Marais, then you have to drive down to Lucerne to drop another car off for your next one, then you have to drive back up to Grand Marais. So, like Christian said, it ends up being about 2 hours, but every 3-4 days, it's nice to get a 2-hour break, even if it's in the middle of the day.
Yep.
And what it does is, you know, either we get, you know, we go to a restaurant and get real food, not trail food, so we get a dinner, so we get a break from the ramen bomb, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or even just lunch, so getting a good burger or whatever every 4 days has been really nice too.
And that's what, like, we've been doing for resupply. So that one big thing with Spear Hiking Trail or any through hike, PCT, AT, whatever, the big question is always how do you do resupply? So you can't bring 21 days worth of food. So that also gives us a place to resupply, because we stash some food, we stash a couple extra pairs of clothes in our cars.
Yep.
So every 4 days, we're able to change our shirts. We're able to regain, you know, food for the next 3 or 4 days, and it's worked really well for us.
Yeah, and people are so good in general. You know, one of our stops in Lucerne, we went to the restaurant and got a burger, and just talking to people kind of around Lucerne, they say, you know, people mail stuff here all the time. We hold shoes, we hold food. So I mean,
yeah.
I think a lot of people can mail. Yeah. So.
Yep.
There's enough checkpoints and towns where you can, you know, mail yourself you know, we chose to do cars, right? We have everything weighed in our car.
Yep.
But you could just as easily, you know, if you only had one vehicle, we're solo hiking, which I think we were the only two through hiking
that were
together. That were, like, together. Everyone else was solo hiking.
Solo, so
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, just, you know, their resupply, they send in the mail, and they'll run in the Silver Bay, they'll run to, you know, whatever, wherever they happen to be at.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point, and I like that you both went into detail there, because, you know, for some people on the forefront, it appears like, yeah, you're out on trail for 21 days, you bring 21 days worth of food. Like, that is close to impossible.
That's
like, you know.
I'm sure people do it, and good for them, but.
Right, yeah, I mean.
Not a chance.
I couldn't do it with these little chicken legs of mine, I know that much, but. But, yeah, I mean, like. You can send stuff in the mail. I know a lot of people, and I talked to Greg Petrie. He was a gentleman that paddled around the entire perimeter of Lake Superior. Interviewed him for another episode, and he did the same thing. He was sending packages out, him and his paddle partner, Lucas. They were sending packages out to all the different towns, the upcoming areas, and so that's definitely an option, too. But,
yeah, I was 17, I was 10 feet tall. I was sleeping at a tailgate singing Willie Nelson songs. You were sleepily smiling, but you always sing along. Yeah, I was 17, I was 10 feet tall.
You know, having that car must be pretty nice, too. Just being able to, like you say, get a moment away from the trail, get that burger back in, you get a moment away from each other, because that's actually pretty big, too. In the Environmental and Outdoor Ed program, we go through a course called Leadership in Outdoor Ed. And something that we learn in that course is the stages of group development. And storming is one of those stages of group development. And with every group, there's a point, usually on day 3 or 4, that you realize you're really annoyed with one another. If not sooner, but and then the storming begins, because you'll start to get this pushback from one another. You'll start to get different interests in what you're even looking for on the trail, and there's probably a period where there was little to no discussion about it. I don't even know, have you guys even talked about much troubles on trail? Because I know I've been on big trips like this, and it's like, it usually comes down to just having a conversation and being like, yo, I respect everything that's going on here, but like, I'm right here with you. Like, it's, you know, I'm annoyed. Here's the things I'm annoyed about. Like,
for sure.
Have you hit a point like that yet on trail?
I think we for sure have. I think, you know, we've done so many trips together. We've been to Florida, Utah, Washington together. So, but they've always been a week long.
Sure.
And so you do a week long, then you come home and you're just fine.
For sure.
And so, you know, coming into this, we're both like, not a chance. Like, we've done this plenty of times. Like, we're not going to get sick of each other. But I think there's become points where, like, we're both planners. But we plan in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I think you're right in the fact that, like, yeah, we, you know, can get irritated with one another.
For sure.
But that's when we just kind of both kind of go, okay, like, we just need to reset here. Like, we, you know, we've kind of had a routine of morning, we kind of talk and hike and ask questions. And afternoon, we honestly, we plug in a podcast and we just, zone in and listen to it. And I think that's really helped our dynamic.
For sure.
I mean, I can even think of today. I mean, there was a point today where both of us were a little irritated. We're both a little irritated with one another. And you know, we plugged a podcast in and hiked for probably 2 hours. And time does wonder apart. I mean, it,
for sure.
I think it eases things.
You need that reset and that little meditative, you know, quietness in your head to just
For sure
reset.
It's
big time.
You know, I think for, you know, some of the differences for us is obviously, like, we were both obsessing over doing this, especially, I mean, truthfully, the coronavirus made this possible.
Right,
it really did. It did.
Uh-huh.
Just trying to, you know,
everything giant, else gets canceled.
You know, like, obviously, like, there's some,
no. Sorry, I had to.
Thank you, COVID. Yeah.
No, but trying to make a positive about a huge negative, and not to mention everything else that's going on in the world.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, just, you know, a lot of sad things going on. And this, for a lot of reasons, the time was right. But I think one thing that, you know, for us is, you know, all these quotes about, you know, the journey and destination and whatnot. I think if you look at Christian, he's really about the journey and the moment. I think if you look at me, I'm about, you know, I'm about, like, the destination. Like, we're going to do 25 miles a day. We're going to do, we need to get here and we need to get here. And I'm more like, here we are, here's where we need to be. And I think Christian is more like, you know, let's just enjoy everything in between. And that's, I think that's kind of been like a challenge too.
Yeah, we had to realize that.
For sure. In a way, I'm sure it probably balances you though, in a sense too. I mean, you probably keeps the miles rolling while also you're probably pointing out things that are going right over Nick's head that he might not see or even
get
no an appreciation for. But
yeah, he's pretty good at that part.
But the funny thing is, you know, if we had any disagreements on this, I think it was pretty much like late in the tent because I'd always, you know, I'd be pouring over the books, and we have two different books. One's the 8th edition of the Superior Hiking Trail. I think that was published in 2017.
Yep.
And like, shout out to the volunteers, by the way.
Big time.
No kidding.
Oh my gosh, it is the world class trail, and it's just it's
best marked trail I think I've been on. How well it's marked is just incredible.
And I know the volunteers are a huge part of that, and so a huge shout out to the volunteers that made it even possible. But I've got the 8th edition of Spear Hiking Trail, very detailed section by section, but he got something that just came out this year called the Data Book.
Yeah.
And it shows elevation.
Yeah, I saw that online.
I'd actually, really having both is huge. And, you know, obviously you don't want to carry two books around. You can, you know, take pictures on your phone or whatever, but, I would get to the tent, and what I just naturally do is I just pour over the book and just start, you know, Christian said we plan in different ways. And it's like, okay, we need to be, you know, here by noon, let's have lunch here, let's have lunch. And that's where we seem to have the, you know, disagreements of the word. But then all of a sudden it seemed like we got on the trail, and like Christian said, the first half of the day we'd be talking, you know, top five NBA players, top five favorite movies, you know, we're chatting. And after, it just seems like once we get on the trail, we were just kind of on the same page. I mean, even, you know, last 3 days we went 60 miles in 3 days, so 20 miles a day, which, you know, for a lot of people might not sound like much, but for us it was, you know,
it's a respectful distance.
60 miles in 3 days. Did we really just do that? And it wasn't anything. He, you know, 2 days ago Christian was saying, I'm not gonna
kill my body for this.
Exactly. And now here we are, and Christian was kind of leading the charge yesterday. He's like, well, what if we want, like, you know, a few more miles? So we definitely balance each other out. To some degree.
I have one more trail question, and then I want to get into your top fives.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Love it.
The trail itself, you guys, you know, you started north, you headed south, which in turn kind of means you started big and you're ending small in terms of the terrain that you're going over.
For sure.
Which, you know, obviously, like, Duluth is kind of no slouch in the sense of it's on a ridge line. You get past Duluth and you got Jay Cook on the horizon, which it's a very, you know, mountainous, hilly, like, it's ravine-y, but what is that midsection like in between Two Harbors and Duluth? I hear it's flat, and you can put on a lot of miles. I mean,
you can.
And on top of that, what's the bug situation?
To be blunt with you, it sucks. It's terrible. Like, least favorite. Christian, you can take it from here.
That's all I have to say about that.
I think if you were at the right time, like in the fall or in the spring, like there's definitely some beauty in it, especially in some of like the woods trail part. But there was just a lot of trails just kind of on the, you know, the snowmobile trail and road walks. And so after we had done so many sections up north where there's constantly overlooks and there's constantly waterfalls and lakes and mountain, you know, it was just, I think, a little bit kind of, we were expecting more of that. And then all of a sudden it was, oh, this is super flat.
Yeah.
Not a lot of overlooks, really no vistas. We can't see the lake at all.
Yeah.
Which allowed us to do that 60 miles in 3 days. I mean, we wouldn't have done 60 miles in 3 days if it had not been.
Your biggest day mile wise before you hit the flat areas?
Before we hit the, okay. So day three, which was brutal for us. Day three, we went 18.1.
And that's the day we hit the beach on...
Yeah.
We had to walk a mile and a half on the beach.
You did 18 miles on the beach day?
On the beach day. It was
wow.
And
I could imagine.
And
that
we only did that.
My knee was also not working. It was brutal.
And we only did that because there was this awkward mileage where I think was it Judge Magny was right in between
because it was closed still. It was
closed.
June, it was June.
Sure. Yeah.
It was a day before. I think the state parks open on the 15th, and we were going through there on the 14th.
Okay.
So we had to keep going because we couldn't stay at the state park.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we either had to do a huge second day or a huge third day. So we chose a huge third day. And that was, I mean, it was Devil's Kettle, lake walk, which a lake walk in itself, you think, oh, super flat. But no, like walking on the sand for 2.5 miles is harder than going up and down mountains. I mean, it's hard on the lakes.
Oh, yeah.
And so that day killed us. We got to our campsite and we both just like fell on the ground like we're not moving for a solid 30 minutes. I mean, we were dead.
I bet.
And so I think at that point we were like, how in the world are we going to do multiple 20 days in a row at the end?
Yeah, I never would have guessed we got to this point. And in all fairness, in this section that we did over the last 2 days at Duluth Two Harbors, it's, in a way, you know, around Silver Bay, the Bean Bear, like, the bar was set so high.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I think if we would have started on the other end, especially going through Duluth, it's, mm-hmm. you know, cause, I mean, it's a nice trail, and if I lived around here in the Duluth area, I would have been all the time.
Oh, it's for sure. Trail.
I'd be up there, so it's a little unfair in the sense where, you know, you're used to this elevation, these, like, panoramic views.
Yep.
And it also gets to the point where it's like, we're ready to kind of, you know, wrap this up.
Right.
And we just cruised. It was relatively flat.
You see the light at the end of the tunnel and you're chasing.
Yeah, right. So I think had we have been going from south to north, we would have appreciated this section a lot more.
For sure.
Yeah.
Because it's in the woods and it's beautiful.
It's
buggy.
Yep.
But it's beautiful. But it's.
Yep.
I also don't regret starting from the north because.
Right.
As you pointed out, there's so much elevation up there.
Yep.
And we wouldn't be able to be.
You want to take it slow.
Yeah. And tomorrow we're on a 30-mile day, and there's no way we'd be able to do that.
And that is something that like thru hikers understand. Like they say about day 10 to 12, your body starts, you know,
really
bouncing
feeling the
back
effects
and being able to, hike a lot of miles. Might feel kind of sore at the end of the day, but the next day your body's
kind of found
back.
The groove.
Yeah,
and
that's
you,
very,
yeah.
very real.
That makes
about
sense.
Day
sure.
10 for us is when our bodies started to be like, oh, okay, like we can do this.
This is really fine.
And we didn't test.
But the first 4 days are
that's fun
are going to be hard.
On day 9, when I saw y'all at Temperance,
yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
These boys need to pick me up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and then about day 10, 11.
Thank you for that. Like,
yeah.
You really needed that. So I just remember like meeting you like with a great bear hug, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah, it was a bear. Night. I was actually concerned why the bear was actually hugging me, and then I smelt him, and I smelt Nick, and I was like, oh, Nick, your beard, it makes you look like a bear, man.
This started as not a podcast, you can't see me, but like it started as the COVID beard.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, wow, I'm going backpacking. I might as well just go full mountain man look.
So. Yeah, you can't see Nick right here on the podcast, but you should go check him out on TikTok because the boy is on the rise. How do they find you, Nick?
I don't even know. I think I'm at Big Nicky Nick. Like, Teacher Big Nicky Nick.
There you go.
Yeah.
Big Nicky Nick.
There was always this, again, this is podcast, so you can't see us, but... I have a little goatee going on, and it's been a joke this whole time because we have been growing our beards the same amount of time.
That is funny.
Since Corona has started, and his is just this big, bushy beard, and mine is pathetic. And
what's your secret?
Unfortunately,
Miracle-Gro?
It's the same amount of time.
I don't know, just... Drink your milk and eat your vegetables, I guess.
I've been doing that, man. I don't know what
fun.
To tell you.
I was 17, I was 10 feet tall.
records. Sounds like you have made more than enough trail memories, more to come. Let's get into those top fives, though. Seriously. So, I heard candy was one of them. Let's start with that. What's our top five candies? I'll give you my answer, too, at the end.
Oh, man. Top five candies.
I know for me, it was very chocolate-based.
Yeah, his was chocolate-based. Mine was not. Mine was more sweet.
You know, a really controversial one was the Sixlets.
Yeah.
Those things. My number one is just classic M&M's.
Okay.
But the only non-chocolate in my top five was Airheads. And on days 7 through 10, which is, you know, you met us on day 9, Christian's fiance, Caitlin, Christian's friend Paul joined us. And it was great to have him for 4 days.
Awesome.
But Caitlin brought Airheads, which Christian told her to do. And oh, it was so, like, a big couple boxes of Airheads.
Nice.
Like, between, you know, a little bit of shoveling cars, I got my second favorite candy.
M&M's might not be great in the sun, but...
Well, yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, I like Airheads, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm more of a sweet guy, so with, like, Skittles, one of my favorite trail snacks, which is just a pick-me-up at the end of the day, is I have little snack baggies, I guess, and I put a handful of Skittles and I put a handful of Sour Patch Kids in a little baggie, and that's kind of my afternoon trail mix.
Hey, there you go.
And it's just a pick-me-up for me. So I'm more of a sweet guy, but... My top two were black licorice.
Ooh.
I know. It's controversial.
Wow.
But I love it.
So here's the thing. I also love black licorice, but I more consider it like as a meal, not as candy. So I was like,
I love black licorice. And then a Reese's Fast Break.
Yeah, also
Fast Break ain't bad either.
Black licorice, also my favorite ice cream. That was another top five.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Huh.
It's good stuff.
I'm not going to fit in at all here. No. I love fruity things. Skittles are definitely up there. I mean, they're delicious. You can't go wrong with good Skittles.
No,
I mean, I definitely like truffles, though, too. Honestly, though, I would have to say my top one and two... Oof. I'm going to do one chocolate and I'm going to do one fruity. And my fruity, I think I'm going to go with Airheads as well. Because, honestly, I love Airheads. And my favorite thing to do is take two Airheads, roll them up, and eat them as a roll-up. You bite them.
Do you ever mix the Airheads together, like one flavor?
That's what I'm saying. Stack them up and then roll them up. And, yeah, they're delicious.
Nice. And these top fives, usually, you know, one of us thinks of the question, and then it's usually followed by about 10 minutes of just silence.
Process the answer.
God forbid that we make a mistake.
It's like a wife or not. Like, all right, top five movies, go. 10 minutes later,
I'm ready. Dead silence. And it's like, okay, we always let each other know. I don't know why we do this, but we always let each other know. When we got our top five, well, hold on, because then I got to rate the top five. And that's like a whole other process.
That's awesome.
Probably the most heated one might have been the Harry Potter one.
Yeah,
it's not heated,
we
just
ranked
like,
all the movies.
And if anyone's known me for longer than 5 minutes, they know I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd. And it was just like, it was more so we ranked the movies, then we ranked the books.
Sure.
And then we ranked, you know, the difference between them. And it was, it was, you know, the most passionate I've probably been about anything.
If anyone's passionate, they're probably thinking we're weird, but...
That's hilarious. I haven't read any of the Harry Potter books.
Have you seen the movies?
I have. Seen
so
all.
You could have at least been in that conversation.
There you go.
I wasn't in the book conversation. That was a one-way conversation of Nick.
Oh, but it was about an hour-long one-way conversation.
Oh, my God.
I gave him reasons A through Z on my decision.
Yes.
As far as your weirdness comment, when you spend 20 days on a trail, weirdness isn't a thing anymore.
No,
anything goes.
Yeah, anything goes.
It's been a nice way to pass the time for sure. Yeah.
Dude, weirdness, if you're on trail, there's already kind of a sense of weirdness.
Yeah,
at least in today's society, it seems like most people are chasing the city dreams. And like, honestly, it was kind of funny when you were saying that, like, things were kind of closed down and whatnot, and there's, you know, things going on around the world, and you guys are kind of chilling on trail, because I had a similar situation. Like, as the Minneapolis riots were happening, I was in one of the most peaceful places in my entire life up the shore. Mm-hmm. And it's like, just to know that you could be on one extreme to the other, and like
home state, and I was, you know, even living in, you know, and this has been going on for more than the 18 days you've been on trail, but yeah, like you living in Grand Rapids, you know, I almost felt guilty, like trying to figure out, you know, like each, I think each person in society is like trying to figure out like where they put in, and
for
you know,
sure,
are you on the right side of history, and what are you doing to improve things? And meanwhile, it is bizarre because you're in, you know, you're in the wilderness like this, and
yep,
those issues are very, very real.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's just, it's so easy to get lost in kind of what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
I don't know, it's also been a challenge. We've had some conversations about,
yeah,
you know, the world's issues and what's going on, the severity of them, but it is totally like just like two different worlds.
It's,
and like,
well, it's hard to live in that moment while also processing all the
right,
stuff
yeah,
that is going on.
And sometimes it's good to get away too. I think that's one of the beautiful things about backpacking is it's a chance to get away
for
and really
sure,
like reflect on,
absolutely,
like who am I? What do I stand for? Like,
yep,
I don't know. Like sometimes you just need to get away and be by yourself to really reflect on your views and what
yeah,
you think and what you want to do.
In life in general.
Yeah.
Man. Like that's the number one thing that draws me to the wilderness is that, you know, in all other settings in my life, it seems like there could be something wrong, you know? And what I mean by that is like, you know, everyday life presents a lot of opportunities for things to go wrong. And when you're out in the wilderness, you realize how many things everyday life just kind of brings on. Like, just going to the grocery store, just going to fill up your car. Like, how many risks that can present and how many things that could come your way and what types of things could come your way.
Literally.
You get out on trail and there's not a single one of those worries in the world because it's like you're just reflecting on life. I mean,
we always say all we have to worry about is where we're going that day, is our pee clear.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
What's the weather like? Like, that's it.
And we'll shout out to each other like, Claire,
it's like, Claire, so, like, that's
but,
about it.
No, we're kind of getting, you know, like, in Grand Rapids, I coached the high school soccer team, so now I'm kind of like, you know, like I'm checking emails every time we get service and trying,
yep,
you know, especially due to COVID, is like, how can we train them? What does that look like? So I've still kind of had to be in touch with the real world, which has kind of been nice too, and we
right,
had the chance to do that, but. Christian was saying last night, it's like, man, we go back, we've got all of these, even, you know, teachers during summer, you know, obviously it doesn't even compare to
constant,
the school year, but
right, yeah,
it's like we've got the, you know, whether it's grad school or coaching, we've got all these
yep,
responsibilities. It's like literally all we have to do right now is go from point A to point B and make sure we're getting hydrated and make sure we're fed. That's,
yep.
That's
totally. One of the biggest things that opened my eyes to the simple meditation that
yeah,
hiking brings is, I was already rock climbing a lot, and I love rock climbing.
Mm.
It's one of my biggest passions. And I had this huge dream of going out climbing El Cap, which
oh,
I do still have, and I really think I will accomplish sooner
so
than later. But, like, that's a huge dream of mine, is to go climb El Cap, you know. And one day, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was like, hey, like, I need a buddy that will climb El Cap with me. Like, would you be down? And about a year had gone on, and he was, like, kind of into climbing, too. Like, he wasn't huge into it, but he had enjoyed it, and, like, he actually could climb at a grade higher than I could at the time, so I was like, this is perfect. You know, he can push me. I can be, like, the brains behind a lot of this. And then one day he texted me, and he's like, how would you like to just thru-hike the SHT? And I was like, that's pretty cool, but we've been talking about climbing El Cap, you know? He's like, well, here's the thing, man. He's like, I love climbing, but I don't think I could spend 4 days on a wall.
Mm.
He's like, I don't think I have the patience to be on the wall that long, and I don't think that I have really the nerve to be on the wall that long. Like,
I
would panic. I don't think I could do it. He's like, the thing about hiking, though, is we can grab our packs, and as long as our feet keep moving, we can still get a very similar experience. We get that sense of teamwork. We get the sense of secludedness, being out in the wilderness. And it finally dawned on me that meditative state that I was hitting with climbing, where it was just you in the wall, where it was
yeah,
just you in the moment with the wall, no other worries, nothing else in your mind, I could finally realize that I could get that doing other things like hiking.
That's good.
And that was a huge moment in my life that switched my mind from, like, strictly rock climbing exploration to, like, just let's go see it all, you know? So
I like that.
For sure.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you guys have had all these, like, big-time experiences on trail and all these, like, really unique, like, dynamic experiences on trail, because without having a partner, like, you really don't hit a lot of those key points, because that feller that you saw hiking alone with all the welts, like, he doesn't have anybody to complain to or anybody to vent to or anybody to, like,
or
go through that with.
Or anybody to lift him back up. I mean,
or anybody to lift him back up. And maybe he doesn't want it. You know, I mean, to each their own. I personally would love to have a partner on trail, though.
Got to find the right partner.
That's very true. That's very, very true.
Everyone's different.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to do it. Shuttling cars, there's solo partners, there's...
Yeah,
that's kind of cool about it, too, is there's so many different ways to do it.
The nice part about the SHT, and I don't know if this is true about a ton of different trails, but just the accessibility of the SHT is unlike most trails. I mean, there's a trailhead every 10 or
it seems
less
like
miles.
Every road crossing, there is a trailhead to park at
that you
hike.
Can get into. And like, there's so much accessibility, and that's what I love about the SHT.
Right. Yeah. I'm right there with you. It's a absolute treat having, you know, like you say, when you put the whole package together, the volunteers, the ideas. I mean, somebody literally was sitting in their room one day. I mean, who knows how this happened, but somebody had the thought of putting up the SHT, making that into a reality, and then through their actions and steps, were able to build the SHT and make it into a reality. And now the ongoing efforts of the, you know, volunteers and all the outside supporters, people that fund the SHT and the SHT Association, and
private landowners
that are literally letting you hike through their private property. I mean, it's absolutely incredible what it has to offer, and for you to be able to drive your vehicle from pretty much anywhere in Duluth, anywhere up the North Shore, and anywhere around Jay Cook, less than 5 miles in the direction of the a trailhead, and that's incredible.
But if you're
and there's
the
no
trail,
other trails
know.
That have that sort of access in Minnesota.
Correct.
There's not, and the fact that you have 300 some miles stretch of this incredible trail, and like it's kind of mind blowing to kind of put the whole big picture together, and I can't
everyone
and
knows
I
about it.
And that's just it, like, and that's kind of the purpose of the podcast and this. The whole idea behind Out Your Back Door is, like, we should expose these kinds of things because they're really cool. They should be utilized, and people should be using the Superior Hiking Trail as a destination to get out of the city, get out of their house, and just go and wander and see the absolute raw beauty of Minnesota. So
yeah, and also happy, Jason, you reached out to us, not just because you know, gave us a shower, which was worth it itself, but it's, you know, go back home, even to, you know, even Grand Rapids, it's only an hour and a half away from here. And, you know, you tell people, you know, I just through hike the Superior Hiking Trail, and they say, sweet, what's that? They have no idea, and they have to explain. It's like, oh, it's this 300-plus mile adventure.
I know, yeah.
And then the woods
and you
explore,
have...
no big deal. It's like, why am I explaining this to you? But it's
and you have to tell that story
every time somebody asks. Yeah,
and it's a tough trail. Like,
right.
People think Minnesota, flat.
It's like trust
no.
me, it's sweet.
Yeah. So now, instead of telling this story a million times, give them the rundown and send them to this podcast.
Yeah, it's like, I'll just like send them a link. Just like, I'll just text you a link.
I got you covered.
Yeah, it looks by itself. Don't worry.
Oh, man. Well, I'm stoked, and I'm really happy. I'm stoked that you guys are on the home stretch here. I'm stoked that you have put in all the time and effort, the planning, the prep, everything that's gone into it. You guys have pretty much turned one of your dreams into a reality, and you're right there on the home stretch. So good on you guys, honestly.
Thank you. Never thought it would happen. We're relatively injury-free. He's got more blisters because he's wearing poor quality shoes.
I have a favorite
story that you've shared so far, but what Christian is getting all amped about right now is that I was just informed that Nick has been hiking the entire time in nothing but just straight tennis shoes and cotton socks.
It's the cotton socks that just boggle my mind. I don't know how you do 20 days in cotton socks.
Entirely boggle my mind. And here is the icing on the cake. Nick has yet to get a single blister. Is that correct?
No, my feet are doing great.
Just incredible. Feet of steel, or
I don't understand it. I have great feet. So, and I still have some blisters.
So to clarify for anybody that doesn't know, there's a saying out there. Yes. There's a couple sayings. It's cotton is rotten or cotton kills. Yes. And the reason being is because cotton will kill your feet. Just cotton in general out in the wilderness is kind of a no-no to a lot of people because it doesn't dry out. It holds water like none other. It's heavy. It's rough on your skin. And
most of the people get tons of blisters.
Yeah, if you wear cotton socks, it's like blisters galore. But apparently, if you're Nick Corbett, and I don't know, man. I'm staring at your feet right now. They're just flawless.
They're great. Inspect them all you want. There's no blisters there.
Those were some good feet. Those are good, strong feet.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I even offered to buy him some wool socks.
He brought me wool socks. Like, nah.
Yeah. Oh, man,
that's funny. Man, well, thank you guys so much for coming on, sharing your stories and everything. Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure. I mean, to actually have, like, so every person, every story I've heard on this podcast so far has all been pastime. Or it's happened years ago, and right. They're sharing their story now.
We're not done.
Which is absolutely awesome, and you're the first people I've interviewed that it's happening right now in the moment. And, I mean, tomorrow you're throwing your packs on, and you're heading back out.
Well, we're not.
Actually, yeah, you're not either.
Because we're day hiking through Duluth, and there's, you know, not really in campsites. There's some few ones, but with COVID, we're not really sure, like, what's open, what's not. So.
Yep.
We're so looking forward to it because we've been traveling with our 30-pound packs for 18 days now.
True.
And tomorrow, we will have both our cars in Duluth, and we will have a, you know, for me, I don't know about him, but my pack will be water and beef jerky. That's it. And we're going to go 30 miles, but we won't have our pack. We'll have, like, a little drawstring bag, and it's, oh, I
50
I can't
miles
wait.
In 2 days?
Yeah.
We'll be done.
That's incredible.
So...
2 days is all?
2 days.
That's all you got left.
That's right.
Wow.
Hopefully.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Something tomorrow.
Yeah, we do have some rain in the horizon, but at least you don't have your packs and everything's going to get waterlogged. Man, that's awesome. Yep. Cy Young Day 9, sending you off with only 2 days left to go, and that's great.
It's crazy. It's perfect. Yeah.
Awesome. Do either of you have anything you want to plug or shout out?
Just happy to be here.
Yeah.
shout out to you, Neto, for, like I said.
Absolutely.
When you talk about trail magic, I mean, I don't think people realize just how much of a pick-me-up trail magic is. And what I mean by that is just to simply, I mean, Nick said this before, but he just came and gave us lunch one day on the Temperance River, and that is a huge pick-me-up.
Yeah.
So. And the lunch and the beverages were delicious, but, like, more so just seeing a familiar face. Meeting cool people, obviously, like, you know, tonight had a great Juicy Lucy a couple hours ago.
Shout out to my grill.
Yeah, seriously. It's like we pulled up and Jason's fiance Carrie picked us up and brought us back here because we don't know how to plan where we're gonna. And it was good. We ended up going 7 miles farther than we thought, which is why we needed shuttle service in the first place. But no, by the time we got dropped off here, Jason's pretty much already grilling, and it was. Yeah,
it's awesome.
It makes all the difference in the world when you have two people join us for a couple of days, just randomly, you know, meets. Like, the lunch was great, but really just seeing familiar and friendly faces, it's incredible when you're on a long journey and you still have a lot to go.
Yeah, well, anybody that's gonna be through hiking in the near future, hit me up on Instagram or Facebook. Well. You can try to hit me up on Facebook. I'm not the best with Facebook. I don't know. I've lost my touch with Facebook. Everything that I do on Facebook activity-wise, I just... it's all from Instagram. And
right.
I literally just like...
Instagram and future TikTok. Right?
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. I'm going to get on the TikTok now. I'm going to bring out your back door to everybody.
Don't get Nick started with TikTok.
Style.
Yeah, look forward to making outdoor and collaborating.
Oh, my gosh.
Get out of here.
Anybody that is through hiking, let me know. Hit me up on social media or any form, and I'll... I'll do my best to make sure I can provide any trail magic for you in the future. So, but on top of that, again, thank you guys so much. And for anybody tuning in, please, like I've said in the past, go follow me on Instagram. I do most of my communicating, keeping everybody up to date via Instagram. Up on my website, I just updated the website, and it's pretty killer. So anybody that's looking to check out some Minnesota content, we got videos up there. I'm hoping soon I'm going to have a small little guide section for just my own personal notes of different trails around the area and whatnot. And not that I think my notes are any better than any guidebook out there, but it's just another resource for all of you to use if you're looking for anything from a day hike up to a multi-day trip. So be on the lookout for that as well. But either way, check out my Instagram, check out the website. There's a link in bio. And, give these guys a follow, too, because their photos are pretty killer on Instagram as well. You'll get the tags and everything else through mine. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and have yourselves a wonderful day. Cheers.
Right on.
Thanks.
See you guys.
feet tall. I was sleeping at 10 feet, singing Willie Nelson songs. You were sleepily smiling, but you always sang alone. I was 17, I was 10 feet tall. I was 17, I was 10 feet tall.